Hi, it's JC with the top 5 reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number 1, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. 2, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. 3 and 4, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number 5, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Of course, I thank Hooters for the last 3 seasons of sponsoring the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. And also a shout out to Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, for his support of the podcast and also for his participation in one of the podcast leagues this year. The podcast leagues, much like my foundation league, much like most of your leagues, probably moving into the all-important semifinals this week for Week 15. I also want to thank the Outback Bowl. I have been a friend to and supporter of the Outback Bowl since the bowl game relocated from Birmingham, Alabama, as the Hall of Fame Bowl to Tampa. I was actually at the first ever Hall of Fame Bowl in Tampa. And of course, 8 years later, the name switched to the Outback Bowl. It's the longest standing title sponsor of all the current college football games. And you know how many of those there are. It's a rock solid relationship between the Outback Bowl and Outback Steakhouse, 25 years running. The bowl game has been in Tampa Bay for 33 years. It's January 1. 1 p.m., Auburn against Minnesota. Auburn has been a regular in the game, making their 5th appearance. Auburn has a strong connection and fan base in the Tampa Bay area. Minnesota playing in the Outback Bowl for the first time after a very impressive 10-win season under P.J. Fleck. It's the first time in school's history that they have played one another. I would imagine this game will bring plenty of people from Auburn as well as Minnesota and have some local appeal as well. Ticketmaster is where you can get your tickets, and for information on all the many other events that the Outback Bowl will be hosting in the days leading up to the game, you can visit OutbackBowl.com. Tomorrow, I will be attending the contract signing party at Raymond James Stadium, where both Gus Malzahn and P.J. Fleck will be making appearances. I've attended that for a number of years. I thank the Outback Bowl for their support of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments as well, as one of the items that I will be providing in Secret Santa at Todd Wright Tour 22 this weekend at West Chase Golf Club will be 2 tickets to the Outback Bowl itself, as well as some swag. My thanks to Jim McVay and Mike Schultze and the Outback Bowl for their support. So as we move into Week 15, it was interesting because when we did our regular season finale watch party at Hooters for the last game of the regular season, Week 13, Vikings and Seahawks, we did a redraft that night, and it challenged everyone who came out. We had representatives from all 4 leagues, Hall of Fame, Todd Wright Tour, Foundation, and Moneyball. What would you do if you were to redraft right now? Can you correct some of the mistakes you made before the season began? And we did our redraft based solely on 2 quarterbacks, 3 running backs, 3 receivers, 2 kickers. No DST. Tight end was optional. You could draft a tight end instead of a wide receiver the way you should all set up your leagues anyway, making the tight end non-mandatory. Trust me, it'll make your life a hell of a lot easier and save you a lot of time. Only 1 tight end was selected, and that was Travis Kelce. You can't sub out. And what we made it was, of the 4 leagues, if you had the lowest point total after the first week, Week 14, you're out. You don't advance. Unfortunately, that was the Hall of Fame Fantasy League. Kevin and Paul and company doing the drafting there representing that league. So they're out. I advanced barely ahead of them, and Foundation did very well, and Todd Wright Tour did well also. So it's Todd Wright Tour, Foundation, and Moneyball advancing to this week. Again, lowest score for this week of your 10 players, whether they are healthy or not, you can't sub out, advance to the finals in week 16. I did all the points last night, and it was interesting to see just how many, and this is literally the Monday night before week 14, how many of the top point producers in week 14 were not drafted. And these are by accomplished, experienced fantasy players that we did in this format. Of the 8 quarterbacks selected, no one took Drew Brees. He had the biggest fantasy week of all players last week in standard scoring leagues / my modifications, which put in more penalties for missed kicks by kickers, no PPR, obviously, and double the points for interceptions. It's a -2, just like any fumble, and an additional 2-point penalty on top of the -2 for the interception if it is a pick six. Drew Brees, huge week, not picked. Mitchell Trubisky, huge week, not picked. Jimmy G, huge week, not picked. Ryan Tannehill, on one of the hottest teams in the NFL all of a sudden, the Tennessee Titans, not picked. A.J. Brown, terrific waiver claim right now, not picked. Darius Slayton, big first half Monday night, not picked. Austin Eckler, despite the fact that 12 running backs were selected, Austin Eckler, not picked. Emmanuel Sanders, not picked. Joe Mixon, who continues to get high volume in the last month, roughly 25 fantasy points, not picked. It was just very interesting to me to see all of these names. So what does it mean? Here's what it means. It backs up something I've been saying to you for the duration of this podcast, that the theory of don't get cute does not apply this time of year. I just rattled off a number of names that were not redrafted at our watch party for the regular season finale, or that were sitting on waivers last week or sitting on your bench. That just shows if you feel good about a matchup, if you feel good about the recent production of a particular player, like an A.J. Brown, like a Darius Slayton, certainly a Ryan Tannehill, the volume of a Joe Mixon, a Raheem Mostert comes to mind as well. You can play those players in a, what was it, 48-46? 49ers, ironically, 48-46 over the Saints. Alvin Kamara produced roughly 2 points. 2 points. Had a fumble knock his points in half. Saquon Barkley on Monday night produced roughly 6 points. These were, in most leagues, the top two players selected. They have kind of gone on the same path all year. Barkley's high ankle injury a little earlier, he was out longer. Kamara's high ankle injury about a month later was out a little less time. Neither have looked like themselves since, and neither really has been that effective running between the tackles, and have drawn pretty regular attention when trying to screen or wheel route out of the backfield. We mentioned on a Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast a while back that the mistake most of us made, if you were picking at or second back in August was you didn't take Christian McCaffrey. It was an enormous mistake, and it might have cost you going to the playoffs. Kamara hasn't been getting rushing touchdowns, and Barkley has, I think, 3 touchdowns all season long. So that certainly was highlighted. If you are a Josh Jacobs owner, and we alluded to this last week, you need to keep checking the status and really, really hoping that Jacobs is going to play this week. He sat last week. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if John Gruden shuts him down for the rest of the year. Now, technically, the Raiders could still get in the playoffs. But Jacobs has been playing with a banged-up shoulder. He's just a rookie. He's had a very heavy workload. The Raiders do have other players of the position, based on the activity of Washington and Rashard via waivers. Are they as good as Jacobs? No. But are they healthier? Yes. Are they fresher? Yes. Have they played this year even when Jacobs was playing? Yes. Look, I understand if you're a Jacobs owner, you want to be selfish about this. And trust me, Jacobs wants to play and Gruden wants to play him. But if he's just too banged up to go and you're risking further injury, it doesn't make a lot of sense for the Raiders to play him. So keep checking status on him. The worst news is for those of you that are owners of Mike Evans, who has been either the or close to the number one wide receiver in fantasy football this year. Done for the season after a big play in the Bucks-Colts game last week. Hopefully you got A.J. Brown on waivers, or at this point you had built enough of a bench where you had a wide receiver option on your bench that was at least getting you those floor minimum 8 to 10 type points that you can count on this week, and then you hope for a blow-up game. Just throwing a name out there. So if Emmanuel Sanders has been sitting on your bench just because you have Mike Evans and you couldn't make enough of a case in the last month to put Emmanuel Sanders in for your other wide receiver options, Sanders obviously is a good type play, especially off his big game with Jimmy G against the New Orleans Saints. That's just one example if you can't claim A.J. Brown this week. Devontae Parker is another one that he was wide receiver one the last 3 weeks going into week 14. And then he goes into the concussion protocol early in Miami's game against the Jets. And at that point, Miami just didn't seem to have any options to get in the end zone without Devontae Parker out there. So they settle for 7 field goals and eventually lose by 1. There is some optimism that Parker will clear the protocol early enough to get in the matchup, which would be a great one for him against the New York Giants. But keep an eye on that if you are a Devontae Parker owner. There's at least hope there. There's none for Mike Evans owners. There's maybe a little hope for Josh Jacobs owners. Those are 3 players that stand out that are on most of your rosters that have been starting in recent weeks that you that were either inactive or injured in week 14 games that may affect you going forward. As always, I will take your emails Monday through Saturday only. About what your playoff plans are, what some of your decisions are. My longtime golf pal and radio colleague Drew Garabo has been texting me the last couple of weeks asking about DSTs. He's been riding the Minnesota Vikings DST. I have been telling him I thought the Buffalo Bills might be a good DST this week. I actually think they are. They held Lamar Jackson down to a pretty low number this past week. Lamar Jackson, right around 20 points in my standard scoring modified standard scoring leagues this past week. That's a very modest number for Lamar Jackson. Buffalo goes to Pittsburgh. It's one of the lowest totals in Vegas. The interesting part to me is how Pittsburgh is favored in the game. They opened as a favorite, and the number has grown. This falls into the category, as Lee Corso calls it on College Game Day, of somebody knows something, and I don't know who those somebodies are, but I'm with the somebodies. Because I initially thought Buffalo would win this game. But after seeing the Vegas action on the game, I'm not touching it because of the action on Pittsburgh. Both Vegas and the early money coming in on Pittsburgh, despite the fact that I honestly don't know how they're going to move the ball against Buffalo. Maybe they do enough defensively in the matchup against the Bills at home at Heinz Field, with Buffalo coming off a very physical game against the Ravens, where their defense is just going to do enough to set up a short field, or it's a bad Josh Allen game. But that's just one example of things I've been talking about with other fantasy players is DSTs. But give me your opinions via email on what you're thinking about doing, and I'll offer you a second opinion. Last week, a couple other people reached out to me. One I gave good advice to, one email came in about a few different players, and I said you might want to think about this, this, and this, and that seemed to be good advice. Then I gave some bad advice to a gentleman who was between three quarterbacks, and in the end, he really wanted to play Jimmy G, and he was right. Baker Mayfield, to me, looked like a good play against the Cincinnati Bengals. It wasn't. It was a very sloppy game. It was more of a Chubb game than anything else. And then there was another gentleman that I asked me about Emmanuel Sanders, I think, versus one of the Steeler wide receivers. And I said, you know, if you need to hit the lottery, play the Steelers wide receiver because he can make one big play and it's worth like 14 points. But if you need volume, take Sanders because he's going to get you more touches. And sure enough, in a 48-46 game, he not only had the volume, he also had one really big play that would have been enough to give you your floor. So he thanked me for that. I'm not going to be right 100% of the time. Nobody giving you fantasy advice is, it's like betting in Vegas. If you can be right 60% of the time, you're doing fantastic. It's a very difficult thing to project. Much like fantasy football, we do the best we can. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com, Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. We'll get you another fantasy football podcast later in the week. Keep checking status on Jacobs, on Parker, as two pretty key guys this week as it relates to guys you would otherwise want in your lineup who didn't go or were knocked out of Week 14 games. Again, my thanks to the Outback Bowl for their support of Todd Wright Tour 22. I thank Hooters for being the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I hope you guys stick with me for 2020. And also Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Sean Sullivan, for your support of JoeBucksFan.com and me and my podcast leagues. We'll talk to you next week.